The story of Saul. Samuel had been persuaded by the elders of the tribes of Israel to sort out who was going to be the king that they so desperately wanted. And so Samuel prayed and waited for the man God would choose as king. Now, there was a man called Kish from the tribe of Benjamin who had lost some donkeys. Anxious to recover them, he sent his son and a servant to find them. They were gone for so long that soon people forgot about the donkeys and started worrying about them. Search parties were sent out. This is hopeless. They're either dead now or someone has found them and taken them himself. Wait a minute. In the next town, there's a famous prophet. Perhaps we could ask God where they are. Well, it's worth a try. At least we can tell my father, Kish, that we've asked everyone, and we've even asked God. The young man's name was Saul, and he made his way towards where Samuel was camped, but had no idea of the destiny that awaited him. Excuse me, sir, said Saul. We're looking for the seer, the holy man. Are you indeed? Said Samuel. Well, you found him, Saul, son of Kish. Oh, how did you know my name? I'm only a Benjamite. I'm no one important. Oh, really? Said Samuel. All of Israel is looking expectantly at your family right now. Tonight you will stay with me and eat. We have much to discuss, you and I. By the way, don't worry about the donkeys. They found them 3 days ago. So that night, Saul ate with Samuel as guest of honour at the head of a table of 30 elders and leaders. Saul and Samuel talked long into the night, and while the townsfolk slept around them, Samuel and Saul changed the course of the entire nation. In the morning, Saul's servant woke him up. Saul, Saul, wake up, it's time we're on our way. Slightly drowsy, Saul said, what time is it? I've only just got off to sleep, it seems. And Samuel, he already was up, waiting too. Now, young man, we've got a lot to get through today. Send this servant on ahead and we'll catch up with him later. And the servant headed off, followed at a slower pace by Samuel and Saul. And Samuel went ahead, Saul caught him up, and asked, what is it that's so important that my servant may not hear? And Samuel turned and said to him, I have a message for you. A message from God for your ears alone. God anoints you as ruler of all Israel. Kneel, Saul, son of Kish. Saul did as he was told. Samuel put his hands upon his head and said, the Spirit of God will come upon you and you will become like the prophets. You will be changed by it and you will be a different person. You have been chosen not by men but by God. The people have asked for a king and so God sends them you. And so Samuel summoned the elders and leaders to break the news. Hear me, Israel, God has answered you. Listen to what he says. I rescued you from Egypt. I saved you from slavery. But now you have rejected your God who saves you and have asked for a king. Saul came forward. And one of the elders said, but he's from the tribe of Benjamin of the clan of Matri and the family of Kish. But Kish's family are all here with us, all except his name is Saul, said Samuel. This is the man God has chosen. There is no one like him in all Israel. This is your king. It was just what the people had wanted. The crowds went up. Long live the king, long live the king. And as time went on and Saul settled into his new role, any critics of the new ruler were silenced by Saul's success as a military leader. Before he was even confirmed as king, Saul liberated the city of Jabesh, captured by the Ammonites, and the nation quickly united behind Saul. He led the people to victory after victory. Enemies that had threatened Israel for years were swiftly dealt with. Saul was their king, and all the while in the background there was Samuel, ever faithful, watching and guiding. But there was a price. God had chosen Saul as a humble man, but soon he was consumed with arrogance. Saul mustered the army against the Philistines, but Samuel sent word to wait 7 days before attacking so that he might come and offer the required sacrifices to God. But Saul would not wait. Pestered by his generals, who said, "Sir, we've been here 6 days now and still no word. Let's attack now or leave." "Yes," said Saul, "something must have happened to Samuel to delay him. I don't like this at all. Prepare these offerings. There's nothing for it. I must do the sacrifices myself." "Oh, but," said one of the priests, "but sir, Samuel has all..." "God speaks to Samuel. Samuel speaks to me. It's all the same thing. Now hurry, let's get the sacrifices over so we can get on with the battle." And just then, a familiar voice said, "Saul." "Oh, Samuel, there you are. I was starting to worry about you. I thought you weren't coming, so I've done the offerings myself." Samuel frowned. "You were told to wait. The instruction came from God, not me. If you had only done as you were told, your kingdom would have lasted forever." "And now," said Saul, "God will find another, someone after his own heart." And from that moment, Saul started to change. Jealousy, anxiety, frustration all took its toll on his mind. Yes, Samuel and his son Jonathan defeated the Philistines that day, despite Samuel's words, and the victory still came thick and fast. And then Samuel sent word to Saul that they were about to attack the Amalekites. God had his own reasons, and Saul was to obey. The Amalekites were to be completely wiped out. Even their cattle and sheep must die. And so Saul did all that God had said, with one or two exceptions. Saul was presented with the leader of the Amalekites and said, "Agag, king of the Amalekites, I've decided to let you live. After all, there are no Amalekites left to rule, are there?" His servant beside him said, "But what will Samuel say? We were told to kill everybody." "Och, I'm sure Samuel will be delighted," said Saul. Sure enough, they next met. Saul was full of himself. "Another victory, Samuel. May God bless you, for I have carried out your instructions to the letter." Samuel was not so sure. "Oh, to the letter, eh? Then why do I hear the bleating of sheep? Why can I hear cows mooing? Why is your camp full of herds of animals?" "Oh, it seemed a waste to kill them. The Amalekites livestock. So we saved the best sheep and the cattle, and I'm going to sacrifice them all to your God. Stop! I don't want to hear any of this. Once, by your own admission, Saul, you were no one special. Yet God anointed you as king of Israel. Why didn't you just obey him? Oh, for goodness sake, Samuel. Look, we won, didn't we? I kept the sheep as a sacrifice. Saul, you poor fool, do you think God takes delight in sacrifices more than simple obedience? To hear God's voice and heed it is better than a whole herd of sacrifices, said Samuel. Oh, well, said Saul, if it's so bad, how come we won? You had a choice. You chose to disobey God, and rebellion is as evil as witchcraft. There's nothing more that I can do for you. Wait, Samuel. I'm still the king. You can't just leave me like this. Samuel turned and ripped the robe he was wearing in two. Looking Saul in the eye, he said, This is a symbol, Saul. Just as this robe has been torn in two, so God has torn the kingdom away from you and given it to someone else. All right, Samuel, I was wrong, but please, all the elders of Israel are here today to celebrate the victory. They're expecting you to lead us in worship. If you aren't with me, I will be humiliated. Please don't do this to me. Very well, said Samuel, for what you were, not for what you are, I will come with you this one last time. After the sacrifices were made, Samuel left. He mourned for Saul the rest of his life, but he never saw him again. Israel needed another king. And so at God's prompting, Samuel set off to a small town, overlooked up to now in the schemes of the strong and the powerful. He went to seek a man called Jesse to bring him strange and wonderful news. With a heart full of hope, Samuel made his way towards the town of Bethlehem.